from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You know, that's baseball, Susan. Baseball. I love baseball, Tiki. Yes. I love baseball.
Yes, I know.
I know you know that. There's a myriad of reasons why baseball is such a great sport. Something football can't do, basketball can't do, hockey can't do. In baseball, you could think it's the end of the world one day. You could walk around your job, text your friends, and say, this team sucks. This team doesn't know how to win. This team can't get a big hit. And yesterday, around these parts, that was the opinion a lot of Yankee fans had. And I understand why. They were coming off of a very, very, very bad loss to the Cleveland Guardians. A loss that really showed you all of the warts and the flaws and the concerns that you may have as a New York Yankee fan. And so being angry yesterday was totally fair. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand it. I feel you. And then within 24 hours, you could think to yourself, nobody's beating us. Because the New York Yankees responded in just the last 24 hours with two pretty damn good pitching performances. Hello, Nestor Cortez. Hello, Gerrit Cole. We see Aaron Judge continue to show you he's Barry Bonds without the steroids.
Yep.
Anthony Volpe has awoken. Gleyber Torres continues to hit the ball well. Giancarlo Stanton reminds you that he's the protection that is needed. And the Yankees spank a team that's supposed to be a peer-tier team. And so, Yankee fans, you don't get this in the other sports. You could go from the perils of depression 24 hours ago on what you think of this team to thinking you're the kings of the world, because after watching the last two games, why would you think you're the king of the world?
Well, I mean, that is baseball, but it is also the Yankee fan. The Yankee fan doesn't have space in their emotional patience meter to have a bad day.
Emotional patience meter.
They can't have a bad day. If you have a bad day, it's the end of the world. It's we stink. We have no shot. Everybody sucks. The manager needs to be fired. Why didn't Cashman give us XYZ at the trade deadline? Mm. It just happens when you lose. But the rational Yankee fan realizes everything that you just said, that guess what? There is some protection behind Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton may not be perfect. He may be getting a little bit older. But every now and then, you throw him a pitch, he's going to hit it a long way. Right? And this is without, like Verdugo playing well. No. This is without, which we'll have another conversation about at some point. This is without Volpe, you know, finally getting back on track. Right? This is without Jazz Chisholm being in the lineup right now. So, like, it's just really hard to be patient when you expect your team to just start running and start churning and start winning all the games that you're supposed to win, even if a peer-tier team like the Guardians are actually pretty damn good.
No, they are. They're okay. Yankees beat them twice this season. They beat them in Cleveland earlier this year, won a series there. Mm-hmm. They just won a series in the Bronx. I think what also happens is that when you're a fan, you think of the good and you think of the bad. And then when you watch the bad right in front of your eyes, like we all witnessed two nights ago, Tuesday night at Yankee Stadium, mm-hmm. the bad of not being able to get a big hit,
yeah.
the bad of the offense disappearing, the bad of the dumb mental mistakes that they made over the course of that game, the bad of not seeing good base running, hello Trent Grisham. When you see that bad, it's an easy reminder of October's of past.
Yeah, but
it's an easy reminder of, okay, this is how things are going to go badly for your team. I think what we witnessed the last 2 days, Teak, is the complete opposite, which is if this team's going to go on a deep playoff run, which they're capable of,
yep.
this is how they're going to do it. They're going to do it because they have an offensive player that you can't pitch to. Like, you literally cannot pitch to Aaron Judge. And so the Guardians tried both ends of things. They said, okay, well, we'll try to pitch to you in a 0-0 game in the fourth inning.
Right.
And Aaron Judge said, oh, no, no, you can't do that.
Mistake.
Deposits it into the right field seats. And then in the fifth inning, in a 1-0 game, the Guardians said, okay, well, we can't pitch to you, especially when we fall behind 2-0. And then Austin Wells, let's not forget him, sack fly. And Giancarlo Stanton remind you, you can't do that. Plus, Gerrit Cole battles through control issues. The Yankees shut out Cleveland. Like, we saw all the bad two nights ago, Teak, all the things that keep Yankee fans up at night.
Yes.
And I think over the last day and a half, we've seen all the things that make you think this
yeah.
team
well,
can win it all.
You know what also is good about this is that maybe, just maybe, like Mindy was listening to you, moving Vientos up to the two hole.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Aaron Boone is actually listening to you as well.
What'd I do?
You said that Austin Wells had to be in this lineup two days in a row.
That is true.
And the last time we were on air together, actually, no, it was probably Monday. I think it was earlier in the week.
Yeah.
We were talking about Austin Wells probably not playing after a night game and in a day
yes,
game. And guess what Austin Wells did?
Yeah.
He was in the lineup twice. And by the way, that's important.
Yes.
Because it's part of what you're talking about.
Yes.
Right? It's having that consistency in this lineup and the length in this lineup so that it gets daunting for opposing pitchers. And if you have a couple of batter flaws through that little section of your pitching stint, you're going to get punished.
Yeah.
That's what the Yankees have to do. That's how they have to win. And if they're not doing that, we scream and yell like we did 2 days ago.
That's right. You know what? I forgot. You're welcome. I think Aaron Boone may have had a moment the other night. He used Austin Wells as a pinch hitter. Austin Wells looked great off the bench. Hit one off the top of the fence. That's when Trent Grisham had his head squarely up his ass. And then just missed a home run a few innings later,
yes.
Courtesy of a great catch in right field. I think Aaron Boone probably sat there with an epiphany in his head, which is, I have to play this kid every day.
Yep.
I don't care if there's a lefty on the mound, I'm going to play him. I don't care if it's a day game after night game, I'm going to play him. I'll tell you another reason why it was impressive he played him today. A forgotten about reason. Gerrit Cole loves Jose Trevino.
Mm-hmm.
He's got great chemistry with him. But you know what else Gerrit Cole can do? He's so freaking good, he could pitch to anybody.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if Austin Wells is his catcher, he'll find a way to make it work. So I do think that's a very important adjustment because Austin Wells, shockingly enough, is the fourth or fifth hitter, depending on who you're facing, that the Yankees have needed. I mean, all season long, we were like, who should be their cleanup hitter and fifth place hitter, especially with Giancarlo out? And the answer is Austin Wells. But I thought what was very cool about today, first of all, great job by BT. Let me just point that out. Your old partner.
Yes.
I really thought he did a great job the last 2 days. I listened to a lot of it,
and that's
especially
the first time
today.
He's done this. I mean, obviously, these two games. He's never done that before, right? I know he's done it for college baseball
right.
because he used to go down to Carolinas and call some games for college, but this is the first time he's done it for the Yankees.
For
right?
an MLB and a Yankee game? Absolutely.
I mean, kudos to BT.
And he and you know, here's the best part, and I'm sure Brandon's thinking this, and I'll give him all the credit. They're 2-0 with him. The Yankees have allowed one run. We all think that way, but honestly, I thought he did a great job. That's not an easy gig, and he did beautifully over the last 2 days. But here's the other thing. We got to see all the aspects, the tiny aspects that you people out there, Yankee fans, like to just minimize all the time on why you're good. You know, you forget about that. It's about bitching about Cashman,
mm-hmm.
bitching about the lineup, bitching about this. This team stinks. That team stinks. You touched on it earlier. We should have done this at the trade deadline. We should have done this in February. Look, you may be right about a lot of those criticisms, but let's not forget who this team is. And one of the aspects of this team that maybe you forgot about is Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
Because what Gerrit Cole did today was really impressive. I've always felt this way as a geeky baseball fan. He didn't have much. He didn't have great command. And he battled. He walked five guys on this game. He didn't have the sharpest stuff, and yet he found a way through trouble. He gave up a leadoff hit to Stephen Kwan that was hit a million miles an hour, and after that, he gave up nothing. He was able to fight through trouble. And when the New York Yankees get to the postseason and they're facing maybe it's Baltimore, maybe it's Houston, maybe it's this Cleveland team, maybe it's Minnesota, Kansas City, they have themselves a legitimate, bona fide, big stones ace. Let's not forget Gerrit Cole. And then the other aspects we talked about. A guy you can't pitch to in Aaron Judge. A Gleyber Torres who had a great day, man. The guy saw like a million different pitches. He's also hit over the last month. The Yankees reminded you today of all the things that they can do that make them potentially very special.
And it's funny because with all of this, we haven't even said Juan Soto's name yet.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto's. They didn't even come up yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you got Juan Soto as well.
You know why? Because he had a quiet day.
He did have a quiet day, but it's still, it's funny because I've been asked a lot about the Yankees and the Mets. And the Mets feel fun. But it feels fun because it's so uncertain.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know what I'm getting each day. Right? You could have Little League era field of errors like we saw 2 days or 3 nights ago. Or you could have walk-offs like we saw with Francisco Alvarez and then with Jesse Winkler. So they're entertaining but not always, good entertainment.
You know what the difference
is? It's like negative entertainment and positive entertainment. It's just always entertaining.
Well, I think the difference between that fun and the Yankees is a simple E word. It's called expectation.
Yes. Well, it's expectation, but it's also with the Yankees, you know that some of these guys are just really damn good.
Mm.
You're not even questioning. I guess with Lindor, you're starting to not even question it anymore because he's spectacular. And now that you hear all the stuff behind the scenes that we don't even know about, people are talking about with him as teammates, you realize how special Francisco Lindor actually is. But with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Gerrit Cole, you look at these guys and they're the best at what they do in the league.
Mm.
And they're yours. So you almost take it for granted how amazing they are.
No, I definitely.
And so you're entertained by it, but you kind of expect it.
Well, you know what I think the other thing is, and it's something that you can't control in the middle of August.
Mm.
You think about October because that's the bar. That's the expectation. And
can't do that though, man.
You
got to just stay right here.
You got to live in the moment. You're right. And that's a great like fortune cookie and it's great advice, but we have a tough time doing that. Like a big part of why Tuesday night's loss to Cleveland was so bothersome to Yankee fans. The reason that Yankee fans called this radio station all day, even to when I was on at 2 o'clock, because think about it, if now it's 15 hours after the game was over, angry and pissed off and worried, is because they're thinking about those failures popping its ugly head in October. And so unfortunately, what we do and what Yankee fans do is you're always thinking about, well, what happens in October? I thought what was refreshing over the last 2 days is you faced a team you may play in October. And you reminded us, Yankee fans, the Guardians themselves, these are the reasons on how you can beat that team in October. This is why you should believe in them. So here's my question to Yankee fans, especially if you are at this game on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We have heard so much negativity over the last couple of days and weeks. A lot of it warranted. Based on their struggles.
Right.
Do you feel better? Do you believe in this team? Or, because if you don't, that's fine. Call on in and say, you know what, Ev? They still suck. You know what, Tiki? Cashman's still an idiot. That's fine if you feel that way, but I'm curious. Did these two wins, because of how they did it and because of who they did it against, they didn't just win two games against the Chicago White Sox. They didn't just win two games against the Tampa Bay Rays. They won two games against a team that you may well see come October. So to the Yankee fan out there, are you cleansed just a little bit? The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Is there a part of you that says, you know what? I do believe in this team. I do believe Aaron Judge has a huge October, even though he hasn't had that yet as a Yankee. I do believe that Giancarlo Stanton is the protection that you wish you had when you were a teenager and you have right now. Like, does it make you feel like I could put Gerrit Cole up against any other ace in the American League? Do you feel better? Or do you still expect doom? Do you still expect the offense to disappear in October? Do you still expect the starting pitching to be lousy, even though Nestor Cortez is now giving you back-to-back really good starts? Do you still expect Clay Holmes to implode on the mound? Do you still expect Aaron Boone to all of a sudden become an idiot? where do you feel? Because I don't know, sitting here on a beautiful Thursday afternoon, I started to envision how and why this team could win the whole freaking thing.
You have to, because you start looking at everybody else. Houston, who the Yankees dominated this year, they're sitting atop the West. Other than that, are you worried? I mean, you're worried a little bit, but are you really about Seattle?
Wow, they just fired their manager.
Yeah. Right, seriously, are you worried about them? I don't really think so. Houston, you dominated already this year, so maybe that's exercise. Cleveland, you just won a series after winning the series earlier in the season. Kansas City, they're not right. They're not quite ready yet.
Tiki,
this is what people should be doing.
Yeah, a few days ago, you and I did that briefly. Mm-hmm. We were sitting at Giant Camp, and we went through some of the playoff opponents.
That's right.
And very briefly said, you afraid of this team? Would you beat this team? And I spoke to a Yankee fan that night.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Evan, Tiki, I want to make something very clear. I'm not afraid of any of those teams. But you know what I'm afraid of?
Yourself.
Myself.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Not afraid of the Orioles.
Yeah.
Not afraid of the Guardians.
I can see why the fan feels that way.
Yes.
But I think this Yankee team, unlike, let's say, 2022, when they won 100 games, right? Mets were 101, Yankees were 100 games, and they just crapped it in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
This team feels like I have a Juan Soto, right? Who doesn't matter. We've seen him perform in the postseason.
Yeah, we have.
So
not for the Yankees.
Not for the Yankees, but is it a Yankee thing, or is it an individual player? Like, well, you know Juan Soto's going to show up. You know Gerrit Cole, save that one postseason game. He's been fantastic in the postseason.
Right.
So I know what we're saying. I fear ourselves. But do you really? Or you just fear the circumstances that the Astros, as our daddy for so long, put us in? And I think we've exercised that.
Yeah, I have this weird feeling that we are going to hear a bunch of positivity from Yankee fans right now, coming off the heels of these back-to-back wins. Let's see if I'm right. Don in Old Bridge, New Jersey, you positive Yankee fan, you feeling good, you smelling the roses?
Hello, hey, you guys hear me?
Yep, we got you, Don.
Hey, yeah, so guys, my quick take on this is the Yankees in this series face two really poor pitchers, okay? So, and most of their runs and RBIs and the bulk of their scoring are from two guys, one of which gets walked basically every other game.
Okay.
The only optimistic takeaway I'm taking from this is the pitching looked great, and I agree with you. Cole's a stud. He's a horse for the playoffs. But you're going to see a completely different pitching staff, especially from this team in the playoffs, and I'm really worried about how they're going to manufacture runs with
this
offense.
There you go. No positivity. Gavin Williams stinks. Some guy named Cantillo stinks. They are too reliant on Aaron Judge. All of this was a facade. I guess I'm wrong. At least I'm 0 for 1. 14 runs in the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, doesn't really count. Did it against crappy starting pitching? Hold on a second. I'm feeling like if I try a second caller here in this opening segment, we'll definitely get positivity. I just can feel it. Jim in Fairfield, Connecticut. Jim, you must be a positive Yankee fan.
Hey, Ev, how you doing today? Listen, I was at the game Tuesday night, and I was so disgusted with what was going on there.
Sure.
And really, I walked away from there in the 10th inning, and I'm just like, how did they not win the game in the 10th inning?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some serious, serious problems with the managerial moves. with this team.
Here we go. Always got to be something.
And you know what? I just think that, like, that's the biggest crutch of this team is really the manager just doesn't pull the right strings. I mean, they've got good players, if you guys have been talking about.
Sure.
Right? They got good players, good pitching. Although Heal was pretty bad that night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should have taken him out earlier when they first went to the mound.
Right. Yeah. So, well, now we know why, but.
Well, okay, so here's what I will say to ease your concerns about the manager. By the way, 0 for 2, even after a great Yankee victory. I guess some Yankee fans still see the garbage.
Two great victories.
Two great Yankee victories. If you play a game at home, and you're not going to want to play this game because you're probably not going to know the answer, and I don't blame you. If you start thinking about who the managers are in the American League postseason.
Hmm.
Right, we know about Aaron Boone. We talk about him all the time. But if you start thinking to yourself, who is the manager of the Cleveland Guardians? They just played them. His name is Stephen Vogt. You've talked about this a lot. Terry Francona's not there.
Yep.
Can you tell me what the hell Stephen Vogt has done as a manager in the postseason? Well, the answer is he's never managed in the postseason.
Right. First time.
Not his fault, but that's the case.
It's the reality.
Remember your daddy, the Houston Astros? Dusty Baker ain't there anymore. A.J. Hinch ain't there anymore. Joe Espada's there. Can you tell me what he's done in the postseason?
Probably nothing either.
Well, he hasn't had a chance yet, so he's done nothing. The Kansas City Royals, there's no way anyone knows who that manager is, but it's a guy by the name of Matt Quartaro. I'm not trying to rip these guys.
Right. I honestly don't think I've heard that name.
That's fine. Matt Quartaro has never even been to a playoff game, let alone manage one. So when you start, Brandon Hyde with the Orioles, he's done a great job. You know how many postseason games he's won? The same as me.
Hmm.
So for all the fear about Aaron Boone's an idiot, he's going to find a way to blow it. Guess what? He's managed more games than basically every other postseason manager combined.
Yes.
So he's got the experience edge.
He does, but it's almost, you almost start to feel, well, they don't know any better. They don't know what they are doing wrong. Therefore, they're not self-fulfilling negativity.
Right.
And so they have a better shot because they haven't had much experience.
That's right.
I mean, Hyde does. He was manager of the year a year ago.
And by the way, Rocco Baldelli does, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, great. And don't get, did you just say Pat Boyle, who's doing a great job already? Did you say Alex Cora? Did you whisper Alex Cora's name?
No, Rami did.
Rami, did you whisper Alex Cora's name?
I did.
You think his ass is seeing the playoffs this year?
Yes.
No shot. The Royals, the Twins, the Guardians, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Orioles. Now, by the way, if Alex Cora does see the postseason, then everything I just said is wrong.
What are they, 3.5?
Yes.
3.5 out?
Yeah, they're not making it.
I don't know, maybe.
Okay, if that's the case, then the point I just made gets deleted. You see this stat up on SN1 right now?
Uh-huh.
How about this? Today was the first time in Yankee history, and the Yankees have been around for a very long time, where they gave up a leadoff hit and then none the rest of the game.
Wow.
That's kind of nuts. That's actually courtesy of Sarah Langs, who's like one of the greatest followers on Twitter, loves baseball, and always comes up with great information. I always find, like, if that stat was released to us about the Mets, I'd say, oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's about the Yankees, it's even crazier because you understand they've been around since they were the Baltimore Orioles for one year.
And they've had some hellified pitchers.
Yeah.
So, and this is what, three pitchers? Did Tonkin come in at the end? I didn't watch this.
Yeah, Michael Tonkin cleaned up at the end. It was Gerrit Cole for the first three pitchers. Yeah.
That was it.
One hit,
three pitchers.
In fact, something has just popped into my head. One hit? Against the team formerly known as the Cleveland Indians? Only one hit? Does that make you...
That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
One of the great lines in movie history, of course, that is Major League.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great Bob Uecker, also known as something Doyle.
Harry Doyle.
Harry Doyle. Oh, man.
That's a good pull there, Pat.
Yeah.
Well, it had it on the YouTube
clip. Oh, got it. I was going to say.
But also, half the people I meet call me Doyle. So.
So that you're very familiar with him.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I know we're a little bit late, and I promised that we'd be early for this, but this is Pat Boyle's big opportunity.
It is.
He's not only producing this radio program, but he was promised a Cinco de Fivo. So, ladies and gentlemen, a Cinco de Fivo evente.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, guys, and Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. So, Evan, after your open and a couple of negative Yankee fans, today's Cinco de Fivo is the top five reasons why the Yankees will win the World Series.
There you go.
Going all the way to the end.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Rip it, Rami.
Let's hear it.
Number five.
They are resilient. I know the Mets get the word resilient thrown around them, because we all declared their season over in May and like four other times. But, it's the second half Yankees. They fooled us all in the first half. This team isn't built to handle injuries. Aaron Boone says the same stuff all the time when they lose. And on top of it, let me point you to the two most difficult parts of the second half for the Yankees. They get smacked in the teeth by your New York Mets, then lose the next game to the Red Sox. That was exactly a month ago. How do they respond? They beat Boston in that wacky extra innings game, beat them again the next day. Then they sweep the Phillies. And now just the last few days, shut out by the Tigers on Saturday, lose a heartbreaker Sunday night, lose a heartbreaker Tuesday. How do they respond? Two back-to-back dominant wins against one of the best teams in the American League. And no, Wario, a.k.a. Josh Naylor, didn't get to rock any babies.
I like that.
That's good for a start.
I like that.
Good start.
Good start.
Number four.
The Yankees have Gerrit Cole. And don't look now, but after hearing Gerrit Cole was washed and he peaked and his Cy Young days were long behind him, Gerrit Cole has completely dominated hitters in the month of August, even on a day like today where he doesn't have his best stuff. Here's his month of August stats. 23 innings, 3 earned runs. That's a 1.17 ERA for the bozos who can't do math. And back-to-back starts, 6 innings of shutout, cram it up your cram hole baseball. So Cole will be dominant in October, and the Yankees should win any game he steps on the slab in the postseason.
Nice.
I like Very that. Nice. I like that. All right.
Number 3.
Yankees also have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Don't let me tell you about how all the stats comparing them to Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, best OPS plus by 2 teammates since baseball was invented. never to be matched again in the late 20s, early 30s. These guys are absolute problems in the lineup. They hit next to each other. Soto's hitting 300. Judge is hitting 334. They've got 84 home runs and 211 RBIs combined between them. So they're putting up numbers and OPSs that are putting Shohei freaking Ohtani to shame.
Yeah.
They love each other. And on top, they can't stop talking about how, he's the best hitter on the planet. No, he's the best hitter on the planet. So they've got synergy. And you know what? They got chemistry. You want to pitch to Juan Soto? You bleep you, pay me. You want to walk Soto and pitch to Judge? Bleep you, pay me. You want to walk both of them? Okay, well, that was a problem until reason number 2 why the Yankees are going to win the World Series.
Right. Number 2.
They finally have protection for Aaron Judge. Somebody hitting behind Judge can finally hit a freaking baseball. Long gone are the days where J.D. Davis was hitting cleanup for this team. I know it was for like 3 games. But still, J.D. Davis hit cleanup for the Yankees in a freaking baseball game this year. Ben Rice had a nice little stretch. Don't want to take away any credit from Ben Rice.
He's young.
He's out of the cleanup spot. And Verdugo, the guy who's literally allergic to his batting gloves and his tattoos, is not hitting in the cleanup spot. Austin Wells, who is the second coming right now of Johnny Bench over the last month and a half. He's at a 900 OPS since the All-Star break. He is red hot. And then, depending on if it's a lefty or a righty, and depending on what day that Aaron Boone decides he wants to, apply some data in the lineup, Giancarlo Stanton is hitting cleanup. Mm. And Stanton once again proved today how dangerous he is. He hit a pitch that was at his ankles on the other side of the batter's box, and he hit it 425 feet.
Jesse Winkler-esque.
Yes, so
Winker.
The Yankees finally have protection for Judge. You can't just pitch around them and get everybody else out.
All right, get to number one. I'm curious.
Number one.
The number one reason that the Yankees will win the World Series, everybody else in baseball stinks. There's no good teams.
That's a good point.
Nobody's great. Everybody's mediocre. The Yankees were basically went 8-20 in the month of June and July or after the All-Star break, and they're still the top of the American League. They're a game behind the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. I'm supposed to be scared of the Baltimore Orioles, like you were saying, Evan? Mm. They don't have a closer. They've tried 3 different closers already. They have no pitching. Half their starting rotation has been hurt the entire year. I'm supposed to be scared of this Guardians team who we just saw. They can't hit the freaking baseball. And then everybody in the West, the Mariners just fired their manager. The Astros, the big bad Astros. They stink. And I'm not scared of anybody in the National League either because they've all been a bunch of 500 baseball clubs for the last 2 months.
Nice.
That was some sink. Are you okay over there?
They should let you host shows.
It's my well,
I'll tell well you, done. Man.
That was well researched.
Well, I was going to say, he had more research in that Cinco than Sean and Lugie combined over the last 2 years.
I tell you.
I mean, that was very, very impressively done.
The numbers back the arguments.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm thinking to myself.
That allows you to make the argument.
Oh, no doubt.
You have a reason, not just an emotion.
Look, baseball's crazy. And I think that one thing we've all realized is that you got to get hot at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But every reason that Pat Boyle just laid out, like, you can't argue with.
No.
Are you going to argue with the fact that Soto and Judge are amazing? You're going to argue with the fact that Gerrit Cole, if I'm making a list of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball going into the postseason, him and Corbin Burns are very close at the top, so I'll definitely say that's a great showdown, but I'm not taking Seth Lugo over Gerrit Cole. I'm not doing that. At this point, I'm not taking Justin Verlander over him, despite what he's done in the postseason. So you've got either the best pitcher in baseball or the second best pitcher in baseball. And here's the other thing that you touched on that I do want to go a little deeper in. Does anyone realize that the New York Yankees, and I don't think this means anything, but I want to point it out because sometimes this is used against the Yankees earlier this season. You know, the Yankees have kind of kicked ass against other teams that are going to make the postseason.
Uh-huh.
Their record against teams above 500 is the best in Major League Baseball, number one. And if you look at how they've done against everybody, you know, it's not winning records against everybody, but overall, like how they've done against other playoff teams, they've done very well. Again, I don't think it matters once you get to October, but it's a reminder that they have shown you here in the regular season, yeah, they could beat the Cleveland Guardians.
Now all it's got to do is translate.
That's
it. It's got to translate to the next season.
That's it.
That's all that matters.
That's it. It's a very good Cinco there, Pat. Excellent
good
work.
Good job, Pat.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I quickly did math.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you could say this doesn't mean anything, Evan. That's fine. I'm just giving you the information. And you can use it with your friend. Maybe you whisper it into your lover's ear tonight. I have no idea. The New York Yankees record against current postseason teams. So, for example, the Atlanta Braves are a current postseason team. Mm-hmm. The New York Mets are not. That could change, but that's the way it is. The Yankees record against current postseason teams is 34-17.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's damn impressive.
Right. The only question I have is, what would Tracy do with that information?
If you whispered that to her?
If I whispered that in her ear, what would it do other than short-circuit what I was intending on doing?
Try it.
I will.
I think you have to now.
I definitely will.
Like tonight.
I'll report back.
Tonight's a very interesting night on TV. You got the Met game. You got the DNC. Apparently there's a big surprise tonight. My guess is it's going to be The Rock, but we'll see.
Oh.
And you know what's going to happen?
It's going to be Beyonce.
You think it's Beyonce?
Yeah.
I think The Rock shows up at the DNC, does a speech, and everyone will be surprised because they don't really know his politics, and then talks about how his speech was better than Hulk Hogan's speech, and then there we have it, WrestleMania, the rematch, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, number two.
He would destroy Hulk.
Well, it's scripted.
So. I know, but it would be unbelievable. Yeah. If Hulk even had a shot.
Well, Hulk can't wrestle anymore.
Yeah, he can't. So
he can't even walk around.
We got to find a different scenario.
All right. That was just my crazy scenario. But yeah,
Maybe it's Shaboozy.
Shaboozy. At some point tonight, I want you to try it. Whisper in her ear and say, Honey, the Yankees are 34-17 against teams that are currently in the playoffs.
But I got to do it like, Hey, babe, guess what? The Yankees are 34-17. Can you believe it?
Well, you got to say why, though. Like, what does that mean?
She's like, what does that mean? Oh. I'll say, it's against teams that are in the playoffs.
What if she?
Oh, baby, yes!
What if she whispers back, yeah, but the Astros are playing terribly during those games. That doesn't count as much.
Then I'll get up and be like, oh, crap, we're in trouble. It's over. Forget it.
If she says that back, you propose.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But we're already married.
So. That's true. It's already been done. I guess you could do it again. Toll-free number, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stefan in Brooklyn. What's up, Stefan?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Tiki and Ed.
What's up?
What's up, man?
All right, listen, I want to mention a couple of points about my New York teams that I love. First of all, I'm going to start off with the Yankees.
Yes.
The one point I want to mention is this year, I believe the Yankees are going to win the World Series, and at the end of the year, just give Soto a blank check and tell him to write down whatever the number is he wants. And keep that guy. Love being here.
Yeah, no, just fill it in. Just don't be too harsh on us. Fill it in. Don't be too harsh on us.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, now let's go to my Nova Knicks.
Oh, God.
This year, Yes, this year the Knicks are definitely going to the dance because they should have went there last year, but everybody was hurt, so I understood that.
Stop. You know what?
They didn't have Mikal.
Stop it.
They would have had Bridges. They would have been able to mitigate those injuries.
If my team didn't have Bridges, we would have won five more games.
Oh, stop.
Look, it's August 22nd. We will certainly entertain Knicks are winning it all. We'll do it. I'm not doing it today. I don't need to hear it today. I'm in a happy mood. Don't ruin my mood with the Nova Knicks are going to win it all or some kind of crap like that.
What's wrong with that?
Could be true. How do I say this nicely? Still not over it.
The Knicks are going to do damage.
Yes. You know, the Soto
thing. He's in your head even though he's not here.
Exactly. It's always there. Uh-huh. Here's the thing about Soto. Whether the Yankees win the World Series or not, whether Soto has a big postseason or not,
he's here.
Juan Soto is going to be in a position in free agency to have that, give me the blank check and let me take care of it.
He is a Boris client having a contract year in a contract year.
He's not only having a contract year in a contract year, which you're 100% right about, he's also so freaking generational people don't realize. Like, do yourself a favor. Think about this. Who's hitting free agency in the next 4 years in Major League Baseball that is even going to come close in terms of age and ability to Juan Soto?
Nobody.
And I'll save you the time on the research.
Right.
Nothing.
Not real free agency. Maybe they'll get paid at that age.
Right.
But not because you had to sign them or lose them.
Right.
And so it's not going to happen anymore. I think some teams that try to do it, it's not working for them.
Right.
Right. They're bringing up these young kids and they're just not that great right now.
Well, and also there's a risk involved to that, but that's a part of why we don't get free agency anymore because guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Ronald Acuna Jr., they get paid so quickly.
Right.
I mean, and teams are smart for doing
about,
that.
Who's the kid in Baltimore? Jackson Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a terrible season.
Right.
Right. You would think that, this Orioles team is going to be so young and they're going to grow together. These kids are going to rake, and we're going to pay him a ton of money. He might not even be the guy.
Right, but that's the risk you have. Like, years ago, the Astros had a young player named Jonathan Singleton, who's one of their top prospects, and they bought him out. They gave him a big-time contract. Singleton said, okay. He never worked out.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be kind of like a sunk cost, but that's a part of why, like, you don't have free agents like Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't happen. And that's why, when Juan Soto gets to free agency, which you should not be worrying about right now, but our last caller just mentioned it, he is in that blank check world where if you're the Giants, you're the Mets, you're the Red Sox, and certainly if you're the Yankees, you're basically like, what the hell do you want?
Right.
We'll give you everything because he's that good.
Yeah. Can you just defer a little bit of it?
Right.
Can we kick some of it down the road a little bit?
Yeah. Can you Ohtani it for us a little bit? Tony is in at Nick Constant. What's up, Tony?
How you doing?
All's good, Tony.
Yo.
Doing good. So, I got 2 points for you.
Bang.
Number one.
Yeah.
We celebrate today. Everything's all good. Everything's all fine and dandy. It's not going to be good when we go into October and Clay Holmes blows a save on us.
Yes. Well, here's the good news.
We don't know that that's going to happen.
I'm
going
to present to you very, very good news, Tony. While Clay Holmes is going to be asked to get big outs, there's no question about it. I don't want to minimize him. I believe Aaron Boone is going to do what I suggested 3 days ago.
Remind people.
What I said 3-4 days ago after Clay Holmes, I forget what Clay Holmes did. Oh, yeah, Sunday Night Baseball. That's right. The Little League game.
Yeah.
He embarrassed himself in front of 12-year-olds. Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
That Clay Holmes should no longer just be locked in as an automatic, he's coming in to get the last three outs. Clay Holmes should be put in scenarios that best fit him. Same with Tommy Cainley. Same with Luke Weaver. Potentially, we'll see about Luis Hill and Clark Schmidt when they come off the injured list. And I think that Clay Holmes is no longer the married closer. Are you going to need him to get big outs in October? Absolutely. Is he capable of getting big outs in October? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is a world that we used to have, even with Aroldis Chapman, certainly with Mariano. Mariano's on another level, where that is a married situation in the ninth inning. And you know what? I look around baseball. You're confident in the Orioles closers?
Well, no,
like,
not.
I feel better about the Yankee bullpen than I do the Oriole bullpen.
Right. Pat was just talking about this. It's very difficult to find that knockout Katie bar the door closer. It just they don't exist it that much anymore. And in the teams that have them, like the A's, they're just not good.
Mm.
And so It'll be interesting to me to see if Aaron Boone can evolve into a, to your point, situational finisher mentality, right? What does this situation need? And who's my best pitcher to put in that situation? It's not about closing. It's not about glory.
It's about matchups.
It's not, yeah, exactly.
Hate to say it. I know that's kind of annoying about matchup. People, but
it's not about getting the glory. It's not about I can rely on this person to do it because he's done it X many times, a la Mariano or whoever, whatever great closer in MLB history you want to bring up. That's not the case in the Yankees bullpen. They just don't have that. And so you have to make it situational. But the challenge with making it situational is that you really got to think and plan it.
It's managing.
Exactly.
Well, it's, knowing-
not, it's not like, all right, I can be unconscious, 2022 New York Mets. All right, Edwin, let's go. Get the trumpets. Come on.
No, no, it's funny. It's funny. In 1998, you know, we always used to say you managed more. Managers managed more. Yes. It's always a thing. Oh, but now, are you really managing? Sal likes to say they're data applicators. Well, think about how much more difficult it actually is to manage in 2024. Joe Torre knew, oh, yeah, I got to lead Mariano Rivera.
Yep.
I got my eighth inning guy, I got my seventh inning guy, and I got Mariano Rivera. In 2024, the best way to manage is not by this is my sixth inning guy, this is my seventh inning guy. It's, hey, these batters will struggle against Tommy Canley's changeup.
Yeah.
This situation presents itself better for Clay Holmes. You actually have to manage more.
Yeah, of course.
When it comes to bullpens. Right. And I think that's going to be the challenge Boone's going to face.
It's essentially these next three batters are, they don't have great launch angles. They a lot of ground balls. Hey, Clay, come on, let's go.
Right.
Get these three guys out. That's how he has to manage.
It opens yourself up to more criticism, but I think that's the most effective way to manage your bullpen, especially this bullpen.
But it also puts your bullpen in advantageous situations.
Exactly.
And that's really what you want to do to win.
100%. John in Garden City. How you doing, John?
Guys, how you doing? I'm driving home. I'm on Jerome Avenue trying to get back to Long Island after that game.
You're still on Jerome Avenue?
Dude,
like, seriously?
Hold on, John. Don't lie. Don't lie. You stayed and had like two beers, didn't you?
No, you know what? I got my 8-year-old in the back seat, and I saw Emmanuel Barberi walking to his car. I went to the 164th garage.
Oh, nice.
That's how long we're sitting in the garage.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
anyway, they used to call it bullpen by committee, what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I get it. But here's the thing. Look, my original point was going to be the Yankees, when they bludgeon teams like today, they're going to win. But you don't bludgeon teams in the playoffs. You got to beat them. You got in a close game, and I mean, I heard Mad Dog say the other day, Clay Holmes will make you nervous. Duh, will he make you nervous? He's blown 10 saves. So I think personally, I think what's going to happen. Yeah, I'll give you my theory. I think the heel injury is a little bit of a smokescreen. It's a way to pull him out of the rotation. They're going to groom him to be the closer, and he's going to start closing some games, and then you got a shot. The problem is, Aaron Judge, the captain, the voice of the team says, Clay Holmes is my closer. I don't want anybody else on the mound. Aaron Boone says, what are you talking about? He's my closer.
Yeah, but John, that's not an issue. Like, Aaron Judge is going to be supportive of his teammates.
Whoever it is.
So when he's asked about Clay Holmes after a blown save, of course he's going to come out and say, that's my guy. Yeah. Trust me, Aaron Judge is not going to walk into Aaron Boone's office upset and say, why was Clay Holmes pitching in the seventh inning?
Yeah, he's not a throw a guy under the bus. The only thing about the Luis Gil scenario that you painted, because it's interesting to think about it as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost what you would want to happen. Luis Gil comes back after 10 days, says, I feel great. Aaron Boone says, okay, we want to try you in this role. And he just mows people down, and he's fantastic. But in order for that to be the case, Luis Gil would have to want to do that.
I don't think it's a want. I think if Aaron Boone says you're going to pitch out of the bullpen as a young rookie pitcher, you're going to do it.
For a guy who's as good of a starter as he is,
mm-hmm.
And you're not guaranteed to be, the closer wasn't your future. It's not like, oh, my plans changed. I wanted to be a starting pitcher, and now all of a sudden I'm a closer.
I don't think it becomes his future either, by the way. If Luis Gil or Clark Schmidt pitch out of the bullpen, it's a temporary thing this season, and then next year they move back.
Unless they're great at it.
You know what? That's happened before, to your point, Teak. Like Neftali Feliz came up as a prospect. They used him out of the bullpen. He was so good. They're like, screw it. Let's keep it. But Adam Wainwright, that didn't happen in St. Louis. But I think most teams realize, you know what? We're going to put you in the best position long term.
How long ago was that with Adam Williams?
That was a long time ago.
You know what I mean? So I'm just thinking from the perspective of an athlete. And it's one thing to be mediocre, not even mediocre because that's insulting, but just say you're just a guy. And then just a guy is not a bad thing. It's just you're good, you're serviceable, you can be a pro for a decade. If you're just a guy, you kind of do it. You got to do what you got to do.
Right.
The more you can do.
But isn't he just a guy as a rookie?
But he's not. He clearly has the stuff to be more than just a guy.
He definitely does.
The last thing you want to do to an athlete like that is like completely rearrange his expectation for himself.
Mm.
Because it might disappoint him in a way that even if it's subconscious, he starts performing underneath where he could be.
That's why you got to sell him on the cool theme song that he's going to have once he comes in the ninth inning.
Maybe, again.
Hey, you know what concerns me about him?
He just feels like a starting pitcher.
Oh, no, and by the way, if you are an elite starting pitcher, which he showed signs of being, versus an elite closer, who would you rather have on your team? Like, I still would rather have the elite starting pitcher, the guy who starts 30 games a year and throws me 170 innings versus the closer who gives me 80 innings.
And he'll would rather be an elite starting pitcher.
Absolutely. I just don't think in this case it's up to him. It'll be up to the Yankees. But what concerns me about him, he's dealing with a back issue. That's not a smokescreen. That's a real injury. Luis Gil has a back issue. That's why he's on the injured list. Is he going to be able to make the transition to pitching in back-to-back days? And I give you a specific reason why I'm concerned about that. I'm going to use the Mets as an example. Jose Buto hasn't done it yet.
Mm.
Jose Buto's now pitched out of the bullpen for a couple of months, and we'll see tonight, right? We'll see on this road trip. I've been calling for it on the Rico. Like, when are they going to be comfortable using him in back-to-back situations? Maybe they won't. So when we all say, hey, move Gil to the bullpen, we get it. Look, we talked about it in April about that possibility. Mm-hmm. But now we're in late August, and I wonder, is he going to be able to make that adjustment in terms of being available day after day?
Right.
And speaking of which, we got to do this, and I'll do the research. Do you remember, Teak, back in April, or maybe it was May, Sean Morash did a Cinco de Fivo on the five guys who will end up being the Yankees closer?
I do remember this.
I believe it's important to replay that Cinco de Fivo to check in on some of his ideas. Now, some of them may be dead because I think one of them was Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
I'm thinking the Mets would trade him.
Yep.
But it'd be curious to go back and listen to that.
By the way, I think it was part troll with the Edwin Diaz.
You think it was?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, probably. He may have thought it. The Mets looked bad for a while.
Because he wasn't even playing, was he?
Edwin Diaz?
At that point.
I don't remember when he did the Cinco. Yeah. I think the Mets were in the midst of their bad run and Diaz was pitching. So I think it was half a troll, half he may be available.
He sucks for you guys. We're going to take him and he's going to be great.
Yeah. But it's worth reevaluating because there are a lot of Yankee fans that say, I don't trust Clay Holmes pitching the ninth inning. Let's go to Ken in Franklin Park. How you doing today, Ken?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
All right, number one, I really enjoyed the Cinco de Fivo today because it was positive.
There you go. Patty Boyle.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1960 or 61, give or take. And I've seen quite a few championships, as you know. These Yankee fans that are calling up now and they're worried about the postseason, I don't get it. Let me ask you a question. Who has the best record in baseball right now?
I think right now it's the Yankees.
The Dodgers.
Oh, is it the Dodgers? They went ahead of them?
76 and it's just by a game, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the American League. Yeah. We'll talk about the American
right, it's the
what
Yankees.
Do you think they're saying? What do you think they're saying in Cleveland right now or in Baltimore about the Yankees? You know, I tell you, I find it very hard to listen to talk radio the day after a Yankee loss.
Well, but you know what? In fairness, though, Ken, I think sometimes it's how they lose. And it does relate back to what a caller said earlier about he doesn't trust them in close games. They haven't won a lot of one-run games. They're a 500 team in one-run games. So when they lose a close game, and they lose a game that featured 35 different mental mistakes, and they lose a game in which they were 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position, that's when I think the concern comes out, not because of one loss in a baseball season, but because how they did it. Now, do we have a mentality in New York sometimes where baseball's like football? We treat every game like it's a football week?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we do. But I think that the Yankee fan doesn't look around and say, well, the Astros are flawed, the Guardians are flawed, the Orioles are flawed, we'll be fine. They look at themselves and say, yeah, they may all be flawed, but so are we, and that's why we're going to find a way to lose. And I think that's the mentality that a lot of people have.
Yeah, and that's not fair to the Yankees because everybody's in the exact same boat.
Look, we're living in this land of baseball right now where everybody is kind of close.
Right.
They're all good to not great.
That's Cinco.
Yeah. Well, he's not wrong about that.
You're not wrong.
He's not wrong about that. I mean, the beauty of baseball, or the sadness of baseball, is that if you make the playoffs and get hot at the right time, anybody can
exactly.
win it all.
It's, you don't want to, I mean, I guess you do. If you're a fan of that team, you want that team to be dominant and be a no question, you know, route to ultimate championship.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball needs what it has right
well,
now.
Well, I'll tell you the difference. But by the way, for anyone watching on SNY, hello SNY and goodbye SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. I will give you, as a Met fan who's experienced both extremes, the good and the bad of baseball in 2024, right? So this season, as a Met fan, a game and a half out of a playoff spot, I love having the mentality of, hey, get to the playoffs, they can win it all.
Right.
It's a true mentality.
We have nothing to lose.
And also, it doesn't matter that the Phillies are a lot better in the regular season. Who cares? Or that the Dodgers have more talent. You can beat them in a best of five, you can get hot at the right time, and we can be the Diamondbacks. So I think when you are a borderline team like the Mets, the anything can happen feel is great, and it's awesome. 2 years ago, the Mets won 101 games, and there was this fear of, yeah, it's been a great regular season. Yeah, we've kicked ass, but I mean, it can end in a couple of days.
Yeah,
it's true. Which is exactly what happened. So I think it's where you are. The Yankees are on that other side. The Yankees are a virtual lock to make the postseason. It would take a collapse for them not to be in October. So you know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And so hearing about the it can happen to anybody factor doesn't excite you as much as it would for the borderline team like the Mets.
Right. And teams like the Braves, who were top of the division a year ago, can attest to it.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you're great and then you're not.
Well, the Braves are a great testament too, Teague, because in 2021, when they won the World Series, they were a flawed baseball team.
Yes.
And they got hot at the right time and they won the World Series.
Traded well.
They made a bunch of small trades that were like jackpocket moves and they won the World Series off of a year in which they were flawed. The following 2 years, the Braves had dominant regular seasons and you know what it does. Bad the following round. Like, they're the absolute proof of it.
Of course.
That's why if the Braves make the playoffs despite all their injuries, I assume they're going to win the World Series. You can laugh, but I think it's true.
They didn't make enough moves. There weren't enough similar moves.
Wow. Yeah, they hit the. It's amazing what they did in 2021. They made a bunch of little moves. They traded for Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, all the moves that they made, and then they all worked out. They won the whole damn thing. Speaking of the Mets making the postseason, if they want to make the postseason, they are about to have to survive a very difficult West Coast trip. Our thoughts on that coming up next. Tiggy's making me feel very good about myself.
Oh, man, you know baseball, bro.
I know baseball. He complimented me for Austin Wells has to play every day, and he's played the last 2 days.
And they won both of those games.
That's right. And he just gave me a stat I didn't even realize about Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos has gotten a hit in every single game while batting second in the batting order.
Right, which made me think, when was the last time Vientos didn't have a hit? And it was back, 10 days ago, obviously.
It was back when the Mariners were considered good.
Yeah, so
remember that?
The Mariners. Were they playing the Mariners?
Yes.
They playing the Mariners, and he went 0-for.
Yes.
And he was batting in the 7-hole.
That's right.
So since he moved to second, he has not had a hit.
And that is something I wanted desperately on Rico and here on the Evan and Tiki program. Yes. I'm red hot.
You know, okay, baseball a little bit.
You know, that's baseball, Susan.
It's baseball, Evan.
What's crazy is when the Mets were playing that game, they were in Seattle as part of a long-ass West Coast trip. Mm-hmm. And tonight, they're about to begin another long-ass West Coast trip. It's part of a very difficult month schedule-wise that the Mets have been dealing with. They're right there. They continue to be right there in the National League wild card race. Thank you to the Philadelphia Phillies for helping the Mets out last night. And the Mets get set. And look, they've been under 500 in August. If we're being factual about this, they're 9-10 in the month. They have, you know, isn't terrible. They've been average, which is something that I kind of looked at and said that's what they sort of need to do because of how difficult this schedule is. But this is the most difficult part of the difficult schedule because when they went out west a couple of weeks ago, they did it against mediocre teams.
Yeah, even though they got swept by Seattle.
Right, even though they went 4-6 overall. Like, they played the Angels. They're a team that was a billion games under 500. They played Colorado, one of the worst teams in baseball. They played the Cardinals, now a sub-500 team. And, yes, the Mariners looked good at the time, but anyone who was thinking, they realized they weren't that good. And the Mets still had a 4-6 trip. Now they're about to take on San Diego and Arizona over the next 6 games in 8 days. And that's why, tell me if this is a loser mentality, I sit here today, 3.5 hours before first pitch, saying if they could go 3-4 in these 7 games, I would actually have to sign for that.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge is San Diego and Arizona are the two hottest teams in baseball right now.
Right.
And so you end up, it just feels like an unrealistic expectation. Now,
really? 3-4?
Yeah.
I didn't ask for 5-2.
Evan, there was a stretch over the last 2 weeks where neither one of these teams could lose.
Well, I'll give you a stat to back you up. Since July 20th, and literally, why did I pick July 20th? I just picked a random day. I picked a month ago. The San Diego Padres have the best record in baseball. They're 22-5. Mm-hmm. The Arizona Diamondbacks have the second best record in baseball. They're 21-8.
Yes.
So they both have been incredibly hot, of course.
So it's daunting. Can the Mets do it? Of course they can. I mean, the Orioles are still a good team, despite us not having any faith in them as Yankee fans that they're gonna be better than us. But they beat the Yankees, they beat the Orioles 2 out of 3, and they did it in dramatic fashion. So, but that was home. Being able to do that on the road, it's gonna take a little something extra.
So that, what would you sign for? 2-5? I don't think they can afford to do that.
No, they can't. And that's what makes this road trip scary.
So what are you saying? The Mets are dead?
No, they're
not.
Are
you burying the Mets team?
Absolutely not. Because they come back, or no, they're still on the technically west side, but it's really in Chicago.
Yeah, they go to Chicago and play the White Sox, which I'm not even considering as part of this trip right now. No. My focus is squarely on these 7 games against San Diego and Arizona.
Yeah. So 2-5 would suck, but I feel like that's what you have to expect.
2-5.
Ugh. Now, if you get 5-2... Let's go.
I mean, if they go 5-2, they'll be parade routes planned. And look, I get it. It's baseball. Teams can cool off very, very quickly. And the Mets played well against the Padres a couple of months ago. They're taking on Dylan Cease tonight, a guy that they just absolutely pounded when they faced the Padres a while back. Look, 2-5 is not acceptable. Nobody would be happy with that. I'm merely saying if they could go 3-4, they'd be 4 games above 500 at that point, going to Chicago. And then, yeah, then you have to begin doing your damage in the month of September against the White Sox, against the Reds, against the Red Sox. Obviously, the huge series against Atlanta. And look, I've also mentioned this a bunch of times. I hate to say this because it has nothing to do with the Mets, but it does. What the Braves do also has a huge impact. Because if the Braves are getting destroyed by the Nationals, tonight they play the Phillies, and the Mets aren't losing any ground, then you can afford to lose a bunch of games out west.
Yeah, it doesn't feel daunting. But it's still a West Coast trip against the two hottest teams in baseball.
It's a West Coast trip against the two hottest teams in baseball, and I will put up this warning sign yet again. Despite Austin Riley being out, despite all the injuries the Braves have had to deal with, they've split the first 2 games against the Phillies. I fully expect that the Atlanta Braves are not just going to wilt away. Like, there is this expectation among some that because the Atlanta Braves are just so beat up by injuries that they're just going to fall apart. They're not going to fall apart. They're going to be a pain in the ass.
Yep.
I'm not saying they're going to play 700 baseball, but the idea that they're just going to roll on over because of all these injuries, I don't see it coming. They almost won yesterday. They won the opener of that series against Philadelphia. And I hate rooting for the Phillies. It's such a disgusting, dirty feeling. But I was doing it. I had them on my TV last night. I had Braves, Phillies, the DNC, and the Yankees. Like, what a trifecta of crap. Not the Yankees. But, I mean, that's the world we live in.
Nothing you actually want to watch.
Yeah. I love watching political conventions. I watch the RNC. I watch the DNC. I'm actually wearing a little political election shirt today, one that I don't think can offend anybody.
Wait, I noticed that, and I didn't read it until I read it. I was like, wait a second.
What does it say?
It says, I like Ike and Dick.
Yeah, that's right. I like Ike and Dick, yes. That was a campaign slogan, a real campaign button. That was handed
out. How in the world did they get away with that?
Get away with what? His name was Dwight Eisenhower. They called him Ike. And the other guy's name was Richard Nixon. You may have heard of him. They called him Dick. I mean, I don't understand the issue here.
Why did Richard Nixon go by Dick?
Because Richard, like Richard can also be known as Dick.
I understand that, but why not just Rich?
Rich Nixon just doesn't have a flair to it.
Neither does Dick Nixon.
I think we need better nicknames, clearly. That's what we're missing in politics today.
Dick Nixon sounds like the defensive coordinator for LSU.
It does, kind of. Yeah, so I'm wearing my I Like Ike and Dick t-shirt. I always have to make these decisions, like, at what point can we honor political buttons and t-shirts without everybody being offended? Like, well, I didn't vote for this person. Now, there are people alive.
I don't want to hear your right-wing, left-wing nonsense.
Right.
Shut your hole.
You know what my cutoff is?
What's that?
If the person's dead. But then I tried that once, and I had a t-shirt about Ronald Reagan, and that got a conversation started in the elevator once, and I said, I don't want to do that again. So being dead does not usually qualify, so I think that anyone who voted needs to either be very old or dead. Like, think about how old you need to be listening to this station to have voted, not for Dick, because he ran a few other times.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Ike. Because this t-shirt is about Ike, right?
Yeah.
It's not really about Dick. Who cares who the VP is? Other than the fact the president may drop dead and then you may care who the VP is.
Well, it's funny because I don't remember this, but I remember studying this, obviously, in social studies when I was in middle school. I don't ever remember it being about Dick. I remember it being about Ike.
Well, it was always about Ike. He was a war hero.
I know, but the button to me in my mind was I Like Ike.
Oh, I think they had numerous. Like, I Like Ike, and then I Like Ike and Dick. You know, because you liked both of them. But Eisenhower, Nixon, their last election was 1956. So you needed to be, by the way, not even 18. They changed that. So at that time, you needed to be 21. So if you voted in 56, that means you needed to be born in 1935. If you were born in 1935, how old are you right now?
I mean, that's
89.
Well, is it really?
Look at you.
That's math. By the way, what if you only liked Nixon? What would that button say?
Well, I mean, you would have voted in 1968 and 1972 and said, I like Dick. I mean, that's what you would have done. And by the way, he won twice. He did okay.
What that button said.
Oh, really?
There's no way. I'm just saying, I have no idea. There's no way it actually
You want me to
said.
Buy that one next?
Yeah.
See, that's
if you, can find it. You got to do it.
You know what's funny? See, that now we're into the controversy stage. If you're buying Nixon stuff, like, now it's too so recent that it's like, nah, yeah, I don't want to touch that one.
Yeah.
Eisenhower's a great historical figure. Remember, I told you I saw a one-man show about him. Ike's on my Mount Rushmore presents.
I like Ike.
That's right. He's on my Mount Rushmore presents.
One of the great Americans of all time.
Damn right. He's definitely on the short list. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth County. Chris.
Evan Tiki, as always, fascinating conversation. Thanks for taking the call.
He caught us at the perfect time. What did you say?
Evan, yes. It's nice to talk a little baseball with you and actually understand you have some sensibilities when you're not talking about NBA basketball. So I have 2 points to make, Tiki. I can't believe you survived this last year with Evan, so good job on you all day long.
Going strong.
Evan, you're not incorrect about Keel and maybe moving into the bullpen for the time being, and Tiki's definitely not incorrect either about this is his role. You don't want to interrupt his role. I side with Tiki here because I think with the Yankees, it is every day. They lose, they're terrible. They can never win, they're terrible. They win now, and Evan, you were great. You were right. This is why they're good. This is what they have and everything else. So I think you're both right.
Yeah.
I would lean more Tiki because I think you don't want to interrupt the guy.
Yeah, not only that, but who
else? One more point, Tiki.
Go. We'll keep you. But who else is going to start for you? Right? Who else is going in the rotation?
Because you even said this, Evan.
Mm-hmm. Until Clark Schmidt is back, he's not back.
Well, it shows you how quickly things change in baseball. Nestor Cortez has given you 2 great performances in a row.
That's a good point.
So maybe there's a confidence of Nestor Cortez could start a playoff game.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Heald sitting there ready to go.
I got you. What?
And I'll leave you with this, my friend, okay?
What's that?
I'll leave you with this. Bridges to Brunson. Bang!
Oh, I don't want to hear from you anymore.
Nice one, Chris.
Thank you for that.
That was solid.
The Knicks are going to do damage.
I understand that, and I can't wait to have open, honest discussions about the New York Knicks. I will put my IBO hat on as best I can, but not now.
August. You're going to turn into a Knicks fan.
That's blasphemous.
I said it last year, and I still feel it a little
bit. I'm not going to turn into a Knicks fan. That's like offensive.
Brunson's so easy to root for.
He really is.
Stop it, all of you.
That's a good guy.
By the way, I'm not a Knicks fan, but I want to be honest about something. Speaking of Jalen Brunson, he is relevant in one thing. I did make a phone call earlier today after Aaron Judge hit another home run just to check in.
Number 48 on pace for 61 now.
Crazy, right? I wanted to check in on the King of New York at the mayor's office. Like, have they changed it? Because you may know that back in February, after Jalen Brunson cried to the Madison Square Garden crowd, Jalen Brunson was crowned King of New York. And he has not given that up since. And I called up.
By the way, that was crying in a good way.
Yeah, good crying. It was emotional crying. It showed his connection to New York City.
Yes.
So Aaron Judge has obviously had this incredible run in the regular season. Did some research to find out, hey, has the kingdom changed? And the answer I got is no. The answer I got was, we'll see in October.
Ooh.
How about that?
I kind of think that's right.
I think that's right, too.
Right. Aaron Judge has got to be an October hero.
He does. He is having, though, with that said, a ridiculous season. And I have a confession to make.
Where is he in the batting race right now?
I think he's second, if I'm not mistaken.
I know he's second, but do you know how much? He's not paying attention. But
he doesn't know. I'll tell you right now, I can look it up very, very quickly. Bobby Witt Jr. is at 352.
Awesome.
Judge is at 334.
No, he's a bit behind.
Yeah, he's not going to catch him.
No.
He's not going to win the Triple Crown.
No.
But
he's won everything else but the Triple Crown.
Yeah, and he should win the MVP.
Yes.
I saw something yesterday, and I was starting to get angry, and then I stopped myself. And then I was like, I'm not angry. I just want to argue this. And then I stopped myself. Can I tell you what it was?
What's that?
Marcus Stroman did something.
What did he do?
He didn't do anything bad. Okay, Marcus did nothing bad.
Okay.
But there was a random tweet from a guy named Passing Paisano.
Okay.
Passing Paisano simply put a picture up and wrote a caption that said, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto every game for some reason. And the picture was of Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Juan Soto and Aaron Judge every game for some reason. And Marcus Stroman saw the tweet, retweeted it, and said, but better. And my first reaction was blasphemy. And then I was like, Evan, like, stop. Like, who cares? And also, like, it's so different. Yeah. I mean, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig didn't face minority baseball players, face, you know, pitchers from the Dominican Republic, black baseball players. So, like,
watch out, Babe. I'm coming with some heat. 84 miles an hour.
By the way, I think pitchers topped out at 84 miles an hour.
I know.
And then I said, yeah, that's true. But what about those numbers? Like, Babe Ruth had a 13 up. And I'm like, why would I even get involved in this? Maybe Soto and Judge are better than
good
Lou
pause.
Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
Good pause.
Yeah.
Good job, Evan.
I started to realize this. It doesn't matter who's right. The fact that they're in the conversation says it all.
That's a great point.
You like that point?
I do.
Yeah.
I like.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Tiggy's making me feel very good about myself.
Oh, man, you know baseball, bro.
I know baseball. He complimented me for Austin Wells has to play every day, and he's played the last 2 days.
And they won both of those games.
That's right. And he just gave me a stat I didn't even realize about Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos has gotten a hit in every single game while batting second in the batting order.
All right, which made me think, when was the last time Vientos didn't have a hit And it was back, what, 10 days ago, obviously.
It was back when the Mariners were considered good.
Yes. Yeah, so
remember
it,
that?
The Mariners. Were they playing the Mariners?
Yes.
They playing the Mariners, and he went over.
Yes.
And he was batting in the seven hole.
That's right.
So since he moved to second, he has not had a hit.
And that is something I wanted desperately on Rico and here on the Evan and Tiki program. Yes. I'm red hot.
You know, baseball a little bit.
You know, that's baseball, Susan.
It's baseball, Evan.
What's crazy is when the Mets were playing that game, they were in Seattle as part of a long-ass West Coast trip. Mm-hmm. And tonight, they're about to begin another long-ass West Coast trip. It's part of a very difficult month, schedule-wise, that the Mets have been dealing with. They're right there. They continue to be right there in the National League wild card race. Thank you to the Philadelphia Phillies for helping the Mets out last night. And the Mets get set. And look, they've been under 500 in August, if we're being factual about this. They're 9-10 in the month. They have, you know, isn't terrible. They've been average, which is something that I kind of looked at and said that's what they sort of need to do because of how difficult this schedule is. But this is the most difficult part of the difficult schedule because when they went out west a couple of weeks ago, they did it against mediocre teams.
Yeah, even though they got swept by Seattle.
Right, even though they went 4-6 overall. Like, they played the Angels. They're a team that was a billion games under 500. They played Colorado, one of the worst teams in baseball. They played the Cardinals, now a sub-500 team. And yes, the Mariners looked good at the time, but anyone who was thinking, they realized they weren't that good. And the Mets still had a 4-6 trip. Now they're about to take on San Diego and Arizona over the next 6 games in 8 days. And that's why, tell me if this is a loser mentality, I sit here today, 3.5 hours before first pitch, saying if they could go 3-4 in these 7 games, I would actually have to sign for that.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge is San Diego and Arizona are the two hottest teams in baseball right now.
Right.
And so you end up, it just feels like an unrealistic expectation. Now,
really? 3-4?
Yeah.
I didn't ask for 5-2.
Evan,
I said 3-4.
There was a stretch over the last 2 weeks where neither one of these teams could lose.
Well, I give you a stat to back you up. Since July 20th, and literally, why did I pick July 20th? I just picked a random day. I picked a month ago. The San Diego Padres have the best record in baseball. They're 22-5.
Mm-hmm.
The Arizona Diamondbacks have the second best record in baseball. They're 21-8.
Yeah.
So they both have been incredibly hot, of course.
So it's daunting. Can the Mets do it? Of course they can. I mean, the Orioles are still a good team, despite us not having any faith in them as Yankee fans that they're gonna be better than us. But they beat the Yankees, beat the Orioles 2 out of 3, and they did it in dramatic fashion. So, but that was home. Being able to do that on the road, it's gonna take a little something extra.
So that what would you sign for? 2-5?
Yeah.
I don't think they can afford to do that.
No, they can't. And that's what makes this road trip scary.
So what are you saying? The Mets are dead?
No, they're
not.
Are
you burying the Mets team?
Absolutely not. Because they come back, or no, they're still on the technically west side, but it's really in Chicago.
Yeah, they go to Chicago and play the White Sox, which I'm not even considering as part of this trip right now.
No.
My focus is squarely on these 7 games against San Diego and Arizona.
Yeah. So 2-5 would suck, but I feel like that's what you have to expect.
2-5. Ugh.
Now, if you get 5-2... Let's go.
I mean, if they go 5-2, there'll be parade routes planned. And look, I get it. It's baseball. Teams can cool off very, very quickly. And the Mets played well against the Padres a couple of months ago. They're taking on Dylan Cease tonight, a guy that they just absolutely pounded when they faced the Padres a while back. Look, 2-5 is not acceptable. Nobody would be happy with that. I'm merely saying if they could go 3-4, they'd be 4 games above 500 at that point, going to Chicago. And then, yeah, then you have to begin doing your damage in the month of September against the White Sox, against the Red Sox. Obviously, the huge series against Atlanta. And look, I've also mentioned this a bunch of times. I hate to say this because it has nothing to do with the Mets, but it does. What the Braves do also has a huge impact. Because if the Braves are getting destroyed by the Nationals, tonight they play the Phillies, and the Mets aren't losing any ground, then you can afford to lose a bunch of games out west.
Yeah, it doesn't feel daunting. But it's still a West Coast trip against the two hottest teams in baseball.
It's a West Coast trip against the two hottest teams in baseball, and I will put up this warning sign yet again. Despite Austin Riley being out, despite all the injuries the Braves have had to deal with, they've split the first 2 games against the Phillies. I fully expect that the Atlanta Braves are not just going to wilt away. Like, there is this expectation among some that because the Atlanta Braves are just so beat up by injuries that they're just going to fall apart. They're not going to fall apart. They're going to be a pain in the ass.
Yep.
I'm not saying they're going to play 700 baseball, but the idea that they're just going to roll on over because of all these injuries, I don't see it coming. They almost won yesterday. They won the opener of that series against Philadelphia, and I hate rooting for the Phillies. It's such a disgusting, dirty feeling. But I was doing it. I had them on my TV last night. I had Braves, Phillies, the DNC, and the Yankees. Like, what a trifecta of crap. Not the Yankees. But, I mean, that's the world we live in.
Nothing so, you actually want to watch.
Yeah. I love watching political conventions. I watch the RNC. I watch the DNC. I'm actually wearing a little political election shirt today. One that I don't think can offend anybody.
Wait, I noticed that, and I didn't read it until I read it. I was like, wait a second.
What does it say?
It says, I like Ike and Dick.
Yeah. That's right. I like Ike and Dick, yes. That was a campaign slogan, a real campaign button that was handed
How
out.
How in the world did they get away with that?
Get away with what? His name was Dwight Eisenhower. They called him Ike. And the other guy's name was Richard Nixon. You may have heard of him. They called him Dick. I mean, I don't understand the issue here.
Why did Richard Nixon go by Dick?
Because Richard. Like, Richard can also be known as Dick.
I understand that, but why not just Rich?
Rich Nixon just doesn't have a flavor to it.
Neither does Dick Nixon.
I think we need better nicknames, clearly. That's what we're missing in politics today.
Dick Nixon sounds like the defensive coordinator for LSU.
It does, kind of. Yeah, so I'm wearing my I Like Ike and Dick t-shirt. I always have to make these decisions. Like, at what point can we honor political buttons and t-shirts without everybody being offended? Like, well, I didn't vote for this person. Now, there are people alive.
I don't want to hear your right-wing, left-wing nonsense.
Right.
Shut your hole.
You know what my cutoff is?
What's that?
If the person's dead. But then I tried that once, and I had a t-shirt about Ronald Reagan, and that got a conversation started in the elevator once, and I said, I don't want to do that again. So being dead does not usually qualify, so I think that anyone who voted needs to either be very old or dead. Like, think about how old you need to be listening to this station to have voted, not for Dick, because he ran a few other times.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Ike. Because this t-shirt is about Ike, right?
Yeah.
It's not really about Dick. Who cares who the VP is? Other than the fact the president may drop dead and then you may care who the VP is.
Well, it's funny because I don't remember this, but I remember studying this, obviously, in social studies when I was middle school. I don't ever remember it being about Dick. I remember it being about Ike.
Well, it was always about Ike. He was a war hero.
I know, but I mean, the button to me in my mind was I like Ike.
Oh, I think they had numerous. Like, I like Ike, and then I like Ike and Dick. You know, because you liked both of them. But Eisenhower, Nixon, their last election was 1956. So you needed to be, by the way, not even 18. They changed that. So at that time, you needed to be 21. Mm. So if you voted in 56, that means you needed to be born in 1935. If you were born in 1935, how old are you right now?
I mean, that's...
89.
Well, is it really?
Look at you.
That's math. By the way, what if you only liked Nixon? What would that button say?
Well, I mean, you would have voted in 1968 and 1972 and said, I like Dick. I mean, that's what you would have done. And by the way, he won twice. He did okay.
What that button said.
Oh, really?
There's no way. I'm just saying, I have no idea. There's no way it actually...
You want me to buy that one next?
Yeah.
See, that's...
If you can find it... You got to do it.
You know what's funny? See, that now we're into the controversy stage. If you're buying Nixon stuff, like, now it's too so recent that it's like, nah, yeah, I don't want to touch that one.
Yeah.
Eisenhower is a great historical figure. Remember, I told you I saw a one-man show about him. Ike's on my Mount Rushmore of presidents.
I like Ike.
That's right. He's on my Mount Rushmore
of
presidents.
One of the great Americans of all time.
Damn right. He's definitely on the short list. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth County. Chris.
Evan Tiki, as always, fascinating conversation. Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate it.
Luis Hill now.
Wow.
What
are you saying?
Evan,
yes.
It's nice to talk a little baseball with you and actually understand you have some sensibilities when you're not talking about NBA basketball. So I have 2 points to make, Tiki. I can't believe you survived this last year with Evan, so good job on you all day long.
Going strong.
Evan, you're not incorrect about
Keel and maybe moving him to the bullpen for the time being. And Tiki's definitely not incorrect either about this is his role. You don't want to interrupt his role. I side with Tiki here because I think with the Yankees, it is every day. They lose, they're terrible. They can never win, they're terrible. They win now, and you and Evan, you were great. You were right. This is why they're good. This is what they have and everything else. So I think you're both right.
Yeah.
I would lean more Tiki because well, I think well, you don't want to interrupt the guy.
Yeah, not only that, but who
and
else?
One more point, Tiki.
But, yeah, go. We'll keep you. But who else is going to start for you? Right? Who else is going in the rotation? If he was gone. Because you even said this, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Until Clark Schmidt is back. He's not back.
Well, it shows you how quickly things change in baseball. Nestor Cortez has given you two great performances in a row.
That's a good point.
So maybe there's a confidence of Nestor Cortez could start a playoff game.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Heel
Evan.
Sitting there ready to
go.
Gotcha.
What?
Evan, I'll leave you with this, my friend, okay?
What's that?
I'll leave you with this. Bridges to Brunson. Bang!
Oh, I don't want to hear from you anymore.
Nice one, Chris.
Thank you for that.
That was solid.
The Knicks are going to do damage.
I understand that, and I can't wait to have open, honest discussions about the New York Knicks. I will put my IBO hat on as best I can, but not now.
August. You're going to turn into a Knicks fan.
That's blasphemous.
I said it last year, and I still feel it a little.
I'm not going to turn into a Knicks fan. That's like offensive.
Brunson's so easy to root for.
He really is.
Stop it, all of you.
He's a good guy.
By the way, I'm not a Knicks fan, but I want to be honest about something. Speaking of Jalen Brunson, he is relevant in one thing. I did make a phone call earlier today after Aaron Judge hit another home run just to check in.
Number 48 on pace for 61 now.
Crazy, right? I wanted to check in on the King of New York at the mayor's office. Like, have they changed it? Because you may know that back in February, after Jalen Brunson cried to the Madison Square Garden crowd, Jalen Brunson was crowned King of New York. And he has not given that up since. And I called up.
By the way, that was crying in a good way.
Yeah, good crying. It was emotional crying. Connection to New York City.
Yes.
So Aaron Judge has obviously had this incredible run in the regular season. Did some research to find out, hey, has the kingdom changed? And the answer I got is no. The answer I got was, we'll see in October.
Ooh.
How about that?
I kind of think that's all right.
I think that's right, too.
Right. Aaron Judge has got to be an October hero.
He does. He is having, though, with that said, a ridiculous season. And I have a confession to make. I got very...
Where is he in the batting race right now?
I think he's second, if I'm not mistaken.
I know he's second, but how? But do you know how much...
You know,
he's not paying attention, but
he doesn't know. I'll tell you right now, I can look it up very, very quickly.
Because
Bobby Witt Jr. is at 352.
Awesome.
Judge is at 334.
No, he's a bit behind.
Yeah, he's not going to catch him.
No.
He's not going to win the Triple Crown.
No.
But I saw something.
He's won everything else but the Triple
Crown. Yeah, and he should win the MVP.
Yes.
I saw something yesterday, and I was starting to get angry, and then I stopped myself. And then I was like, I'm not angry. I just want to argue this. And then I stopped myself. Can I tell you what it was?
What's that?
Marcus Stroman did something.
What did he do?
He didn't do anything bad. Okay, Marcus did nothing bad.
Okay.
But there was a random tweet from a guy named Passing Paisano.
Okay.
Passing Paisano simply put a picture up and wrote a caption that said, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto every game for some reason. And the picture was of Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Juan Soto and Aaron Judge every game for some reason. And Marcus Stroman saw the tweet, retweeted it, and said, but better. And my first reaction was blasphemy. And then I was like, Evan, like, stop. Like, who cares? And also, like, it's so different.
Yeah.
I mean, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig didn't face minority baseball players, face, you know, pitchers from the Dominican Republic, black baseball players. So, like,
watch out, Babe. I'm coming with some heat. 84 miles an hour.
By the way, I think pitchers topped out at 84 miles an hour.
I know.
And then I said, yeah, that's true. But what about those numbers? Like, Babe Ruth had a 13 of them. And then I'm like, why would I even get involved in this? Maybe Soto and Judge are better than
good
Lou
pause.
Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
Good pause.
Yeah.
Good job, Evan.
I started to realize this. It doesn't matter who's right. The fact that they're in the conversation says it all.
That's a great point.
You like that point?
I do.
Yeah.
I lied.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands.
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.